Okay, so I think Matt has made an amazing case for why we need to do this kind of support work. And what I'd like to talk about a little bit is how we do the work and some of the ways that we approach it and some of the projects that we work on. I've been doing political prisoner support work since about 2001. I started out supporting friends who had been arrested and like knowing of like jail and prison support through that. But as I got into that, I quickly became aware of this group called the Anarchist Black Cross, who does really good support work around that. And I realized that there were up to 100 political prisoners in North America, many of them who had been serving incredibly long sentences in the States. There are prisoners from the American Indian Movement, from the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army, from the Puerto Rican Liberation Movement, from the white anti-imperialist allies that have been in jail now, been in prison now, going on 35, 40 years, and are still strong activists. And so I started writing to some of those prisoners and just became really immersed in the work. I'm really, like, it's been the most fulfilling and just most incredible work of my life. And it started with that little relationship in the beginning there. Around 2005, some of the people that I was working with and a lot of environmental activists in the United States started being arrested as part of the Green Scare, which is like the latest kind of wave of repression that's ended up in some of these super long sentences again. And so we've been working a lot to make connections between those early arrests and between this new wave of political prisoners and now the repression that we're facing here. So I work with the Anarchist Black Cross, and one of the things that I love about this group, just sort of like a loose group of collectives around the world that do support for political prisoners and other prisoners. One of the things I love about it being anarchist in nature is that we don't do work top down on behalf of prisoners. We don't do charity work. We work in solidarity with people. We work alongside them to facilitate projects that they want to work on with us. And that's how these two projects arose. The Political Prisoners Calendar has been around now for 10 years. It was our 10th calendar this year, and we work on that. It's a couple of us that actually started working on it in Montreal, who now live in Toronto, and then a couple of people who are still in Montreal, and three political prisoners in upstate New York. And every year we pick a different theme, and we have 12 different pieces of art and 12 different articles by prisoners and by their supporters on that theme. And this year we're actually raising money for G20 defendants. So again, just trying to make the connection between these struggles and trying to help these prisoners that we work with still be activists the way that they want to be. I mean, like, it was very important to them to show support for the people that were arrested during G20. And we were really putting the calendar together like before we even knew how bad the arrests were going to be. Like, the calendar goes to print in August, so like we kind of like, well, actually, closer to July. So, like, we kind of knew, like, how many arrests there had been. We didn't even know, like, the full extent of all the conspiracy charges, but we had a good enough sense because we know the history of what was going to be needed, and so we're extra glad. And the other project, then, is for Struggle Mag, which started and is a project that I work on, I guess, year-round. We started having conversations about it in 2002, and I guess we did our first issue in 2004. I was writing to Jan Lahman, who's a political prisoner from a group called the Ohio Seven. They had carried out a series of direct action against targets in the United States that were supporting the South African apartheid. And so they had bombed like a state building and a recruiting center and that sort of thing, and they were arrested as part of that and received really, really serious charges. So when I started writing to him in the early 2000s, he had already been in prison since the early 80s. So he was really interested in the internet. And this is actually like one of the things that we were able to offer as outside activists, was a way for him to set up a website and a way for him to get writings online for people. He was really interested in having a voice for political prisoners that people on the outside could read, and we could still be including them in our day-to-day conversations, not necessarily about prison conditions, although we do talk about that sometimes, but about these ongoing struggles. So they could talk about what was then, you know, the emerging war in Iraq and Afghanistan and like and issues that were top of mind for them. And what we realized really quickly was that there was such a demand for those conversations from other prisoners that we couldn't just have it primarily online. And so it turned into this, at first, incredibly bad-looking paper publication. just like the super worst photocopied zine ever. there's copies still floating around of the early ones, and they are so bad. But I'm still so proud of them. Like, I eventually we'll go back and like maybe pull out the couple of articles that were okay and put them into an anthology or something. But over the years, we've worked together to build this thing based on the amazing response we got from prisoners and based on these amazing voices that were like so eager to be part of the discussion. So we now send free copies to over 500 prisoners. We get the sense from what people tell us that they're shared with like 5 to 10 prisoners each, like which gives us like a pretty good reach. And people, they use it in study groups, they use it to like reach out to prisoners that are becoming politicized. And so it's just been this really cool resource. And part of the reason it's been, I think, so successful is that we've taken leadership from the prisoners that we work with on it, that, again, we're not doing it for them, we're doing it with them. And I think in the case of political prisoners, these are activists with decades of experience, like people that were doing things to organize their communities and thinking about the issues that we think about every day, like years before I was even born. And so like we have so much to learn from that dialogue with them, and then they too have like a lot to learn from us in the way that like things are developing on the outside, that relationship has just like a lot of power to it. They really are still activists, and they still organize really effectively despite all of the barriers like that they face, despite censorship, despite the fact that they'll be thrown into solitary for doing this type of work with us. There's a lot of prisoners we work with that have not only been in prison for 40 years, but have been in solitary for 25 of those years because they refuse to stop doing political work with us. And so there's that. That's really powerful to keep these activists active. Just like if you look at the civil rights movement, there were prisoners like Malcolm X, like Huey P. Newton, like Bobby Seale, who did some of their most important writings from prison, and who really had voices as leaders in the movement, who propelled outside movements forward because of the things that they were doing. Oh yeah, I should have mentioned George Jackson also, who was incredibly influential to those movements. If we can find the George Jacksons now to inspire us and to inspire other prisoners, our work is really going to be strengthened by that. And again, they have so much to contribute that's beyond just prison insights. I mean, the insights into what's happening in prison, that's incredibly important. But on nationalism, on feminism, we talk about hip-hop extensively and infra-struggle and like what art can do for people politically, that kind of stuff. The more that we include those voices in everything that we're doing every day, I think the stronger that our work will be. I think too, though, that for like so-called social prisoners, they understand firsthand like the lengths that the state will go to exert control, to maintain control, to crush dissent. Like they know, and their analysis of society for that reason is so sharp and like so incredible that whether they went to prison for political reasons or not, like they have so much to contribute to these dialogues with us. Like social prisoners have not just a lot of amazing political analysis, they also face a lot of political repression. As soon as somebody starts kind of putting all of the puzzle pieces together and starts writing to people about it and starts trying to organize other prisoners about it, like there's a good chance they too will end up in like solitary with the guards like physically attacking them, with their mail being destroyed, like with all the things that happen to our political prisoners too. And we see that more and more frequently. So for me, it's part of the same work. Like I consider myself an abolitionist. I think it's incredibly important for us to make sure that our political prisoners receive support, but I also consider that to be like part of the work that needs to be done to like just get rid of this like insane system entirely, right? So just personally, I probably do more support for like our readers and people that write to us that are like non-political prisoners at this point, just because like we get like 100 letters a week from our readers, and like most of the political prisoners that we work with have awesome support networks, like because like our movements have like done a not bad job of keeping their names going and stuff. So really we're a small group though, and so in the end most of what we can do is give them a voice, and that's what we try and do through like the publications, is try and give them like a space, like as new activists in a lot of cases, to like feel like they can contribute to the discussions, feel like they can ask questions, feel like they can challenge other people, like feel like they can do all the things that you should want to do when you're a new activist. Materially, like in terms of doing casework, in terms of like donations, in terms of like that sort of thing, like it's not something we as Toronto IBC like can take on because we're spread so thin. But there's awesome like books to prisoners programs here and in Ottawa and elsewhere that like are so vitally important to that. Like I think just getting information to them and helping them get information back out is big. Prisons really function the way they're set up to silence those voices. They want us not to hear the things that these prisoners have to say because it's so powerful and so dangerous to bring these voices. So that's really, I think, as activists, one of the strongest things that we can do, not just in prison-centric publications and groups and events, although those are important, but like in our everyday work. So if you're working on a garden project, if you're working in a feminist collective, if you're working doing any type of work, you need to be thinking about how you can include those prisoners' voices in your everyday work. Can you have a statement from them at an event to open things, to like to make them present in that space with you? Can you include an article from them in whatever publication you're working on? Can you ask them for advice on like planning a demo or like an action or well, like a legal action, obviously. But like, because I mean, again, these are activists, both the younger generation that I've been talking about and the civil rights era activists that have so much experience and so much to contribute. And like, we don't need to make the same mistakes over and over. And I often find that when we share with them the discussions that we're having about power struggles in our groups, about, you know, like liberal tendencies versus more radical tendencies, about tactics, about sexism, they're like shocked that like we're still having the same conversations that they're having. And they have really cool insights on it. And they're still, again, not like in a top-down way, but alongside us, like able to develop some really cool analysis, I think. It means like for you as an individual and you as a member of a group that you need to figure out what works for you. Like just think creatively about how to bring it in. Nobody expects everybody to do prison work as often as some of us do it, you know, like we're here as a resource to you. And I'm sure a lot of the people in EPIC would tell you that as well, that like, if you're interested in including more prison voices in what you're doing, like we can help you make contact with prisoners. We can help you get these statements and that kind of stuff. So I encourage you to think about how that could work for you now more than ever. This work has always been important. There are people that have been doing it for like the entire 35 years that these other comrades have been in. Now more than ever, really, though, with repression against activists like really on the rise again, I think that we need to figure out how to do this work. We need to let activists know that we're going to have their backs if they're going to be standing up for us and our movements. We need to let the state know that we're not going to let them silence these voices. We need to take advantage of like the incredible power that connecting across the walls could have for our movements. And I think that like a great way to start is by having those conversations and having those like sort of those creative discussions, but then by connecting like through a letter. I really encourage you to just like once, if you've never done it before, write a letter to a prisoner, because even if you can't commit to doing like a long ongoing project with them or whatever, like that solidarity means so much. Whether they've been arrested like during the G20 and they're under house arrest now, like a lot of those kids are super like lonely and frustrated right now. They can really use like just like a note of solidarity. or if they've been in for 40 years, like to know that people are still thinking about them. Just find somebody whose case you're interested in, send them a note. It's a cool way to start the discussion. It's a cool way to make it kind of like real for yourself, I think, too. And like for somebody like Roger, who like has acted in such a principled and awesome way, I think it's a very good way for us to show our support and let them know that we're going to be there for them. So that kind of like emotional support, like you were saying, that kind of like community building, that relationship building is really what is going to sustain our movements, like no matter what repression comes our way. And I think that first letter is the way to start. So, okay, that's it for me.